Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We have just a couple of announcements. First of all, we have thank you for, that's Pastor Teresa giving you a thank you. Pastor Teresa says, for celebrating her birthday, it was great to be surrounded by friends and be in the community, Pastor Teresa. So we praise her. And actually, we have some flowers because we didn't do it last week, so we have some flowers for her to take home. And we have a birthday cake down there for her to have a little bit of birthday cake.
Some more celebrating.
This is your week.
Yay. Yeah.
So then we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to join us. It's great. And you can go on the Gales Creek website and connect. It's really easy. So then we have a GroupMe. Debbie can help you connect to GroupMe if you aren't connected. They call it a group chat, but it's great as far as praying for people when they need prayer right away. So I encourage you to hook up with it. And then we have Gleaners on Wednesdays. Come about 10:30, 10:45, because at 11 o'clock they open up and food goes fast. So I encourage you to come. So, and if you know of somebody that is in need of help or food, be sure and contact either Sherry or Helen, and they will help you with that. Potluck today. So after service is potluck. I encourage you to stay. Even if we have lots of food because we have food from yesterday even. So
yesterday was a good service.
And it was a great service for Paul yesterday. So it's a praise for that. So, and it was great seeing everybody and just laughing and thinking about Paul. It was good. So anyway, so come today and have our potluck with us and just fellowship. Men's retreat's coming up the 24th to the 26th. I encourage you to talk to Bill if you are interested at all. It will be great. Jeremy's over there excited to go. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful that we have this place that we can come to worship, that we have fellow Christians that we can just support each other and love each other. And Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for getting to have potluck and being with people, but most of all to come and just praise your name. So I just ask for you to just open our hearts. Just let us just absorb you. Let us listen to what Pastor Teresa is going to share, Lord, and just put it on our hearts, Lord, and let us put it to good use. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and praise your name. We love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to go to the call to worship. Let's stand and we'll read Jeremiah 31:3.
Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied, I sing your presence, I sing beneath the shadow of wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere. one thing I ask, and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, thousands elsewhere. Heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will run near to you, to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. One day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, thousands elsewhere.
From the mountains to the valleys,
us. Hear our singing. Fill the air. May your light shine in the darkness as we walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth as the water o'er the sea. I Savior, I come to thee.
Amen. You may be seated.
Now we get to give our tithes and offerings. For those of you online, just remember Tithely is still there. You can use that as a tool as well when you're not able to be here in person. Let us thank God for what He has given us. Lord, thank you so much for the finances you give us to live this life. Thank you so much for this life lived for you. Help us remember the blessings you give us and what you have asked us to give back from those blessings to live that life. Amen. Okay, a couple things on the Facebook here that have come up. Vicki Nichols is staying home. She's not feeling well today, so she's asking for prayer. And she's going to keep up with us online today. And then Bill posted to keep Scott Gainey in prayers. Is that correct? I think it's Scott Gainey. He's not with us today. He normally sits in the back row. But Scott's not able to be here today. Lots of fun being youth pastor for his son, Anthony. Went by Toby all those years. So prayer for Scott and Vicki, who are not able to be with us here in person today. Praise. I see two people in the back row taking Scott's seat right now. Yep, Carol and Sean are here. Big praise. And boy, did we have a party yesterday. Yes, we did. I'll tell you, for the first time in a long time, I'd seen this sanctuary bubbling with so much love and activity before our service. And I don't know, I'm the kind of person where I'm like, I think that's okay. But then when it's time to get to service, let's get focused, right? Because that's what we're there for. But I don't think God said, not to give up coming together, right? I think there's a purpose in that.
Yes.
And if we're sitting here and we're fellowshipping with each other, it's going through that ceiling and it's going to heaven, and He knows His children are loving each other. And that was just great to see yesterday. And I got to say that was a praise for me to see that happen. I'd like to lift up my wife, Sarah. She's still recovering from tonsillitis. I made her stay home and sleep in today, get more rest, because she's supposed to be back in the classroom tomorrow. So she saw the ENT. Her infection is still draining. It is healing. She's still on antibiotics. And we have a tonsillectomy coming soon. So please pray for us to figure out when to put that in our insanely busy schedule. So that's all I got personal to share. Anybody else have a prayer request or praise they would like to lift up to the family today? Jeremy. Oh, cool. Okay. So Jeremy's praising God that his brother Jeff is coming out sometime soon. I think about a week and a half from now, something like that. I don't remember exactly when he told me, but then also you got to see your friend Raymond for the first time in a long time. Isn't that great when you see somebody like that? That was yesterday. You too. Yeah, you get to see people. Josh. Super duper bowl game today. That's right. Teresa heard brisket, so we know where she'll be.
Praise, there's a potluck after church.
There you go, potluck after church, and then a potluck wherever you are with the Super Bowl. So, food potluck first, snack potluck second. Debbie. He's the He Gets Us campaign, yep. So there's gonna be two big commercials today in the Super Bowl. The HeGetsUs.com group is sponsoring them, along with, like you said, Hobby Lobby and several other.
A bunch of places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But $3 million is a small price to pay to tell people about Jesus Christ. Yep. Aren't you glad He Gets Us? I know I am.
I take
life
off him.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. We're all glad we got him. Absolutely. Anybody else? Wink. Prayer. Yeah. Wink is reminding us to continue to pray for Turkey. There's 35,000 lives lost so far. So pray for those that have gone, for family members that remain. And Donna mentioned for the emergency workers still working and digging out and finding all the bodies that are still to be found. Lord God, reach into the hearts of our brothers and sisters in Turkey. Give them peace. And to those left behind, knock on the door of their hearts so they know you before it's too late. Rhonda.
But my granddaughter, has got one of those really bad viruses that they're really worried about her. Great for her.
That was Emily?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what their question was? She has an RSV.
Okay. So pray for, and that's your granddaughter, right? Granddaughter. So Rhonda's granddaughter, Emily, has a really bad virus, and they don't know if it's RSV or otherwise, but it's affecting her greatly, and we want prayer for quick recovery. That's Christy's daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Christy's daughter. Debbie.
Well,
Yeah. Okay. So Debbie's asking for prayer that the hands of her insurance company be moved to cover a medication she needs. Really bad for a skin ailment. And it's on hold right now, so pray that it can go through. I know I saw another hand. Fred.
Yeah, praise for Tony. It's good the situation he's been getting ready to then resolve the kids of already part.
That's a praise. Some of you have heard some rumblings about my brother Tony having a kid being very physically aggressive toward him, other staff members, and an administration that was moving at a snail's pace to deal with it, not wanting to offend in any way. The situation has been resolved, and my brother is safer in his classroom, along with some other staff members, I'm sure. So Debbie's asking us to remember to lift up the old Gales Creek School across the way with some students that are having some emotional and rage issues and causing property damage and having the school need to close for a little bit. Holy Spirit, come heavy over that place. Bring peace. Yeah. Anybody else?
I have.
Go ahead, Linda.
So first of all, for me personally, I have a tooth that I need to have surgically removed. So prayers for the pain and for the insurance and so forth, I need to get that all worked out. Because right now it's not in network, so I need to see what I can do to get it in network. And it is bad. And then second of all, Mom is, the insurance has told us that she's supposed to come home today. We said, no, she cannot stand. She cannot, if she cannot stand without a lift, she cannot come home.
Yeah.
So, so we will be definitely reappealing. If they deny it, it's out of our pockets. We just pray that the insurance company would see reason because she can't come home without being able to. If she can stand with a walker, that would be one thing.
Yep.
But not until she can stand with a walker.
Yeah. So Linda's lifting up two prayer requests, one for her mom being in rehab and not being ready to come home and the insurance not covering more than to today. So prayer that the insurance would see that her mom's not ready to come home and needs more help and cover the bill. And the second one is for a tooth that she needs to have removed and to find a provider in network to make that happen with the insurance. Thought I saw another hand back here. Yes. For the health industry as a whole, because many people we hear are struggling for appointments right now. Okay. There was another hand I saw. Sean. Yeah. Sean's being emotionally transparent about her son, Thomas, who is having struggles with drug abuse and needs recovery to happen. So prayer for him. We prayed someone else out, so why not pray another one out? So prayer for Thomas. Yeah. He had a friend, Carl Dolan, there with him yesterday, who's gone back into Teen Challenge again, himself, And I said, Carl, you have a calling toward Thomas. If you're serious about your recovery, you have a calling toward Thomas. And it was fun to sit with the two of them at lunch down there and put that on Carl's heart. Because they're connected. Yeah. Carolyn. Okay. Anybody ever feel like God just keeps shutting one door after another, after another, after another? And that's where Tony was last year. But he opened a window. And it was the way Tony needed to climb out. And Tony's found out, my brother Tony found out that the places he, other places he applied to are all running into budget shortfalls. And he would have gotten cut. So, you know, waiting on the Lord is hard, but it was the right thing to do. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. And prayer for you too.
Yeah.
As you go through. Yes. Prayer for insurance to work too. Yeah. Just like Betty mentioned earlier, get insurance is working. Oh, Dan Hundley. Okay. So prayer for Dan Hundley, who is now on hospice. Billy. So the person we're praying for is Jackie, or that's the name of your friend?
My friend's name is Katrina.
Katrina. Okay, Katrina's but, mom, Jackie.
She's from the Bias family.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie is her mother, and she's the one. She's kind of what seems like dementia. Like, that is,
so Billy is asking us to lift up his friend Katrina, her mother Jackie Mathias, and the entire Mathias family, as Jackie is failing quickly right now in the flesh, and that they all have peace and know that they are saved. She is saved, and there's a tough road ahead, but a clear road ahead. Susie. Damn room. Yeah. I knew that. But I hadn't shared it yet. I didn't know.
Oh.
I didn't know if Dennis was going to or anything, but yeah. That's okay. Dan, so Susie's lifting up Dan and Becky Kroom still. Dan does have a recurrence of cancer. He's got a tumor in his brain, a setback in recovery for sure. And so continue to pray for Dan and his health, Becky and her health as she tries to help Dan, and for them to be able to get some hospice help. Okay. Hope I got that all. Anybody else? All right. Let us go together as a church family. Father, Lord, thank you for being God Almighty, God All-Knowing, God All-Present, and always with us, always available. Always able to move mountains when we need them moved. Thank you for moving mountains, Lord, when we don't even see them coming up in our way. Forgive us for being short-sighted and not remembering to call upon you every moment we need help. Forgive us when we're short with each other because we're tired. Forgive us when we forget to lift each other up in prayer because life gets so busy. But Lord, be with us now. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for bringing us here to these pews today. We thank you for the fellowship that you bring and the lives that you bring into our lives to witness more powerfully to who you are to each other. Lord, we lift up so many health needs that have been expressed today around dementia, around cancer, around health insurances, figuring things out quickly and efficiently so that those who need to be treated will be treated. Lord, we lift up Betty's request for her insurance to get figured out, for insurance for Linda and Lori's mom to get figured out, Lord, for Linda and her needs with insurance. Lord, there seems to be so much going on in the world of insurance right now. Lord, just reach into the hearts and minds of the actual people that make those decisions and move heaven and earth for your children. Lord, we lift up Dan Kroom specifically. He's missing here today. And we lift up Vicky, who's homesick and would like to be here. And for Scott Gainey not here in our presence. Lord, we thank you for all of these people you have given to us as a family here. We ask you lift them up at home. Heal their hearts, heal their bodies, heal their minds. They return to fellowship with us. Lord, I lift up my own family, the illnesses that have been going through. Please, Lord, bring healing to our home as well. Lord God, we lift up this great nation, a nation conceived in knowledge of who you are and how important you are to this nation. Lord, for the first time ever this last week, a survey said that less than 50% of who we are go to church. Lord, we ask for revival. Holy Spirit, come and knock on the doors of the hearts of our neighbors, our friends, and then give us guidance to say the right things to them to show your love. Because, God, we know that with you we know peace, and we know without you there is no peace. So, Lord, bring your peace to this nation, to this country, to this culture. Come, Holy Spirit, bring revival in our hearts and across the land, and even more so into our leaders. Thank you, Lord, for all that you will do. Let us remember to stand assured in your presence. Amen. All right. Well, we got a kids thing today or not? I don't think so. So, all right. Well, there's kids worship. They can come up and worship anyway. Yeah. You ready to sing a song?
Song?
You got a light? Put your finger up like it's a candle.
Candle.
A candle. Ready? Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel. No.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel.
No. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Don't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine, shine.
Won't let Satan get out.
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Shine it around my neighborhood.
I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it around my neighborhood.
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine,
let it shine.
Good job, guys. All right, let's go back to our pew.
I know, no children's church today, but we will say a prayer for our children. Yes. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for our children. We ask a special blessing on them as they continue to grow up in you and shine their lights. We thank you, God, for them. We thank you for the workers who also serve them. Bless them. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And I want to thank people who gathered yesterday for a celebration of life. Thank you, Pastor Ivan, for serving. Brother Bill was the MC. Always fun to hear him, right? So thank God for all of you who participated and brought food and just fellowship with the family. We are in the book of Matthew. We've been following Jesus the last few weeks as he preaches the gospel message. And he is also instilling life and to his disciples, to those who want to come along and follow him. He's teaching them what it really means to follow him and to know God their Father. So last week we saw him preach on the characteristics of true believers. He said to his disciples, you must be, like the song we just sang, salt and light, right? So that's why we say, let your light shine. So now, let's take a moment to think about how we were able to apply the scripture to our life for this past week. Pause.
You don't have to share your answers with anyone. I just want you to pause for a moment and reflect over this past week. Can you identify a time or two when you were able to be salt or light? Sometimes when we look back at the week, we discover, I had a missed opportunity. Take a moment and reflect. My prayer for each of us is that we go from here on out looking for God to show us how we can be salt and light and give us courage to actually do it, because that's what he's asking us to do. So let's pray for good soil. There's a parable that Jesus uses when he teaches them. He says, the sower goes out and he sprinkles the seeds. So let's pray that our hearts will be good soil. Pray with me. Father, we declare your lordship in our lives. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for teaching us through your word. We ask that you help us recognize moments to add God flavor to our situations and be light for your glory. Be with us now as we study your word. Give us understanding. Amen. All right, now, so I want you to follow me, because we're back at that same teaching where he was that day on the mountainside. We're in chapter 5 of Matthew. We're going to start at verse 17. I'm going to be sharing from the Message, but as always, feel free to follow along in the translation that you are most familiar with and comfortable with. But listen how the Message renders the event. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures. This is Jesus speaking. Either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together. Pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously, show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. You're familiar with the commands to the ancients. Do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these manners. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Or say, you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail. If that happens, you won't get out without a stiff fine. You know the next commandment pretty well, too. don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you'll preserve your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those ogling eyes you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. Let's not pretend this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, here's what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on a moral trash pile. And you have to chop off your right hand the moment you notice it raised threateningly. Better a bloody stump than your entire being discarded for good in the dump. Those are such harsh words. But he continues. Remember the scripture that says, whoever divorces his wife, let him do it legally, giving her divorce papers and her legal rights. Too many of you are using that as a cover for selfishness and whim, pretending to be righteous just because you are legal. Psh, please, no more pretending. If you divorce your wife, you're responsible for making her an adulteress unless she have already made herself that by sexual promiscuity. And if you marry such a divorce adulteress, you're automatically an adulterer yourself. You can't use legal cover to mask a moral failure. Wow. Somebody might say he might have been a little angry, a little on edge. But he really wasn't. He was just simply saying, look, if you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, the Christ, and believe in God, the Father, then your life is going to have to show it. It's going to have to show it. So Jesus continues his sermon on the mountainside, highlighting practical ways to demonstrate faith in him. And he began teaching with how believers are to witness to the world. So he says first to them, this is how I need you to show up in the world. Stop saying you go to Gales Creek. Stop saying you go to the such and such church. I need you to actually show people that you know who God is. This is why I need you to be salt and light. This is how I want you to show up in the world. So he begins by teaching them that. And this passage focuses on how to apply God's long-lasting law to modern times. Because too many, even we have people like that today still, want to focus on the list of what not to do and think that that's what saves you. Because I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Like, that doesn't save you. It's your relationship with God that saves you. And because of your relationship, you are then going to do those things that are godly, that are holy, that are loving, that are kind, that are all the things that his character is about. We too often get it twisted and turned around. And so this is why Jesus addresses them. This law that you love so much is not what saves you. It is loving God and loving humans that does. It is trusting in the work of Jesus Christ that does. Now, there seems to have been maybe a rumor running around at that time that since Jesus was on the scene, people who believed in Yahweh didn't have to worry about obeying God's law anymore. Oh, well, since he's here, we're good. He's like, no, that's not how that works. I'm not here to actually invent new commandments. I am actually here to fulfill them. I am here to complete them. So this is why he has to break it down for them. So you notice in scripture, they refer to the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament is summed up in two parts. It's really three parts to the Old Testament. But the two parts that teach you how to be and how to behave with human beings is the law and the prophets. So remember, the law is the five books of Moses, the first five books of our Old Testament, and then all of the prophets. and what they have to say. So he says, we're not getting rid of that. We're actually bringing that to completion. And here's how you're going to do it. So Jesus says directly to those who may believe that following somehow replaces what they learned in the synagogue and at home concerning scripture, he is not here to destroy the scripture, but to fill it and to expand their understanding of scripture. So Jesus knows people believe watching for and demonstrating physical observance of all the rules and regulations makes one right with God. And he kindly shakes his head at them and rebukes them and points out the difference between the outward appearance of holiness and the inward belief in the heart. So this is why he goes through and gives the examples that he does. Everybody wants to point at what you're not doing. You want to say, here are the Ten Commands. I'm doing these things. Like, you've missed the point, is what Jesus is saying. You've missed the point. Because it's not about the things that you're doing over here. What's happening inside here? What's happening inside your heart? So Jesus corrects the people's theology and he expands their minds. It's not the physical observance of the law that counts. It's what's in your heart and in your mind. Of course, the emphasis of the heart is not new with Jesus. It's way back in the Old Testament. So this is the thing you have to understand about Jesus. He is actually not inventing anything new. He's not saying anything new, which is amazing because people are acting like, oh, he's saying something new. Like, no, he's not. And he actually tells them that at certain points. He says, I am not here teaching you something for myself. I'm merely saying what God the Father has sent me to say. Oh, and by the way, he already said it several times before. If you go back and read your scripture, this is nothing new. But he has to remind them of what is in scripture and what did God require. And just as he reminds them, he reminds us as well. We have to be reminded. It's not the rules that create our relationship with God. It's our turning of our hearts over to God that changes us. So Jesus is pointing out to them, just as the Old Testament said, because the Old Testament talks about having a contrite heart. Remember scriptures that reference that? And knowing God. So it's way back there. So Jesus points out that if a person has a contrite heart, that's going to lead you to the physical acts of holiness. It begins in your heart, not the other way around, not adherence to these laws. And so now I'm saved. It's no, you need a change in your heart and then you will act like God. You will be like God. You will love him and you will love the human beings around you. So to drive this lesson home, Jesus uses major teachings all Jews know. The first is the law about murder, right? Everybody knows, even we know it, because we've memorized the Ten Commandments in vacation Bible school, Sunday school, right, whatever. Thou shalt not murder. They know that. It's only fair, though, to say that the meaning of that law is about physically killing someone. Right? And if you go back to Leviticus 24, there's a section on the various penalties for killing humans, for killing another person's animal, as well as the various penalties for injuring people. Okay? It's that same passage that pronounces judgment, and Jesus quotes it later. You'll see him talk about this later. He brings up eye for an eye. Go back to Leviticus, that's where it is. Because it's saying, if you're in right relationship with the human beings around you, you're going to want to repair broken relationships. You're going to want to repair any damage that has been caused. So that's where the context of an eye for an eye comes from. So Jesus quickly points out, look, it's not just about physically murdering someone. Because like, yeah, most of us don't go around just killing people. We don't do that. So it's not that. He says, you can kill with the words you speak. Now, how many of us are going along talking? Yeah, it's how we communicate every day, all day. So he says, you have many opportunities to murder someone then. You don't need a gun. You don't need a bomb. You don't need a knife. You're killing them with your words. Your words reveal your heart and your true nature. And if your heart is holy, then your words and deeds are going to follow. But if your heart is not, guess what? Your words and deeds are going to follow. So Jesus says to them, see, you got caught up on the, I'm not killing anyone. But are you? Are you not doing that? What are you saying with your mouth? What are you saying with your deeds? And you have to also recognize human beings may not be able to see your heart, but God knows. God sees it. And Jesus looking out at the crowd says, I see y'all. Some of y'all think you're really holy, but I can see your heart. I know that you're not. You're going around putting on airs, pretending to be Christian, pretending to be holy, pretending to be good. Because you keep this list. Oh, if I do this, if I stand on the right side of the line, I'm good. What's happening inside your heart? What's motivating you to stand on that right side of the line? It is in your heart where sin begins. If you nurture the seeds of pride, they will be guaranteed to grow. The result is you believing you have authority and you have the right to take another person's life. That's where it begins. It's that seed in our heart that says, I'm actually more important than you are. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Jesus says, yeah, that's how you're murdering people around you. Because you actually believe in your heart that you're better than they are. And that, my dear, is incorrect. Because if you go back to Old Testament scripture, what does it say? God created humanity in his image. That means every single last one of us. There's not one person that's not created in God's image. So you are not more important than I am. I'm not important than he is, and so on and so on. But the enemy will have, if he plants that seed in your heart and you nourish it, that's what's going to grow out of you. God taught the Israelites that he alone has the right to take life since he gives it. He created humans in his image. And all of creation, as a matter of fact, belongs to him. Not even to us. To him. Now, there are times, because I know someone's thinking, yeah, but there are times when we get to kill people. You're correct. There are times that God allows us to take the life of another. The Mosaic Law covers that. Times of war, self-defense, capital punishment. Those are the times you get to do that. So Jesus says, beware. You're not as holy as you are letting yourself on to be. It's not just the outside that counts. The inside counts just as much. How are you watering the seeds that are growing in your hearts? What are the kinds of seeds that are in your heart? It's going to show. Jesus offers a remedy when we have spoken ill words. We've had a falling out with another person. He teaches us how to make amends, just as the Mosaic Law did. If this happens, this is how you fix it. Go and resolve. Go and repair that relationship. So Jesus is just repeating what his Father has already said. Go and make amends. God is not interested in us keeping up appearances by coming to church service or Bible study or prayer meeting in place of reconciling with our sibling in Christ. So this is what he says. Yeah, I know that one offering you want to give. Not interested. Oh, I know you want to get up here and say, I can't even hear your voice right now. You want to come to me and pray? Nope, can't hear you. Go and make it right with your brothers and sisters. Because those are the people you see every day. Stop going around saying you love God and you can't love the people you are with. Nope, I can't hear you. But God, I didn't. Let's see what happened. No, shh. Go talk to them. Go make it right. And then come back to church with your offering, with your tithes and your offerings, with you wanting to lead the music, wanting to work in the AV section. That's beautiful. That's great. We want you to lead prayer. And you also need to make your relationships right. Okay? It's a priority. It's not either or. It's both and. The second example Jesus gives is about adultery and divorce. So again, this is stuff that they all know. It's ingrained in them, right? We know we're not supposed to do those things. So he says to the people, don't focus on the outward appearance of doing the right thing. Yeah, okay, so you didn't visit her house at night when all by yourselves. But he argues, if you've thought about it, you've already committed the crime. What is in your heart, Jesus says. Because again, sin begins there. It doesn't begin in your actions. Your actions are simply aligning with what's in your heart. You can't do something without first having thought of it or conceived it in your mind. And I know, in our legal field, we try to figure out if it was premeditated murder. You know, that's where the term comes from. Did you sit and plot it out and think through it? Or was it a crime of passion? You just got caught up in the moment and hurt that person. God is like, no, see, stop. Let me interrupt you right there. There is no crime of passion. You already had pride and hatred in your heart for so-and-so. So when you got into that argument, guess what had happened? Because the seeds were already there. They were already being watered and were growing. So humans may say, well, there's a difference between that. God is like, side eye. No. If you claim to be my child, you know me, and you are a follower of Jesus, I need you to do better. I need you to do better. So he tells those people, don't focus on that outward appearance. You must look at what is conceived in your heart, what is in your mind. And I really like how the message explains it. Don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. That's your heart, heart at work. And this is why we need to ask Jesus into our hearts. Reign in our lives. Change our hearts. We get changed from the inside out. Jesus says, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. Maybe sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, you might be fooling them. Because again, they're focused on your outward appearance. But you're not fooling me. You're not fooling the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. The heart can be easily corrupted. So God teaches us in his word to guard our hearts and minds. Again, way back in the Old Testament, you can't just read the word of God, but you have to meditate on it. And there are several passages I can, think of off the top of your head that talk about meditating on the word of God. What does that even mean? Why was that important to believers back then? Why would they want to meditate on the word of God, on the law? One of the writers says simply, so that I sin not against you. If I have it in my heart and in my mind, I'm always going to have this awareness of, oh, no, this is what God wants me to be doing. I need to align with what God says. He wants me to be holy like he is. Is this actually going to reflect to other people as holiness? Huh. That's when you have to decide, yes or no. And then you also have to ask your own self this question. Now, am I doing it just for a show? Or am I actually doing it because I love God and he is a priority in my life? You can get caught up in that real easy. Don't take the bait. Meditate on God's word. To meditate means keeping that passage of scripture in the forefront of your mind so that you're thinking about it and dissecting its meaning and its application. What does this passage mean, Jesus? Give me understanding. How can I make this happen in my life? Those are the questions you should be asking when you read scripture. Not just, oh, I memorized that. Oh, hey, that's good. In one ear and out the other. Paul talks about that. What good does it do you to look in the mirror and be like, okay, I'm good to go, and never really think about the rest of the day, how you appear? You can't forget what you just saw, although many of us do. Don't forget what the scripture is saying. Think about it throughout the week. Monday happens, I'm going to think about that first part of that verse. What does that mean? And then by Tuesday, well, what does the second part of that verse mean? By Wednesday, oh, thank you, Lord. I see now, because this is what happened when I talked to the person at the store. Ah, now I get a different, oh, now I get, okay? And so each day, you're working on digesting that bread of life. But if you want to just be religious, okay, you can do that too. Just read that passage Sunday after Sunday and keep living your happy little life. But know this, Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows your heart. If we keep reading his word and meditating on it, keep going back to it and asking for revelation, God is faithful to answer us and give us understanding. Now you might be thinking, this all sounds pretty reasonable. But how is Jesus making the law complete? I mean, that's what his opening statement was, right? He said to them, yeah, I'm not here to abolish that. I'm here to complete it. Jesus fulfills the law because he saves us and seeks to heal us in all aspects of our life. Jesus offers to the disciples, as he does to us now, a new way of living, not being tied to rules and regulations, but instead we build upon what, why did God give us those rules? What is he trying to say to us? How is he expecting us to be, not just do? We know through Jesus' teaching that all of this law is summed up into two. And he says this in a different time when he's preaching. If you could just manage these two, all the rest of the law is going to work itself out. What are those two things? Love God. And then what? Love others. And I don't know why we do this in our heads. We have this either or thing going. I'm going to love everybody. And then we forget about God. Or I'm going to love God. And then you don't want to love the people around you. No, it's the wrong equation. Two things. Love God. Love others. And then all the rest of that stuff will take care of itself. When we give our hearts to God and we love him, he will make our hearts new and give us the ability to love others. This is what Jesus teaches the crowds that day. Keeping the law is loving God above all else. And secondly, loving others. When we love God and others, we by default will keep God's commands. Those who love God focus on being like him, and we are set free from keeping up appearances of holiness. And when we fall short, because we will, Jesus, our Savior, who is perfect and without sin, works on our behalf. He intercedes for us and has paid the price of our sin once and for all. This is how he completes the law. When we fall short, he has taken our place and paid it all. His death pays that penalty for anyone who believes in him. And he helps us to live an abundant life now and in eternity. Pray with me. Lord God, thank you. Thank you once again for your holy word. You are so good to us. help us to meditate on the scripture, coming back to this time and time again, so that we can better walk with you, so that we can better talk with you, so that as we fellowship with you, our fellowship with the human beings around us will be that much better. All for your glory, Lord, we pray it, and we thank you. Amen and amen. Right, today is Communion Sunday. Not only is it Potluck Sunday, it's Communion Sunday. So we're going to ask that you be prepared. So if you're with us online, feel free to join us. Get your beverage and your wafer ready. As we prepare ours, we ask that you wait for us. We're going to serve everyone in the sanctuary. And then at the same time, once we've served everyone, then we will all partake together. So we're going to pass it out now. Thank you. Right, I believe everyone has been served. We take this moment once a month just to remind ourselves of the work of Christ. We are not saved by all the rules that we keep or the number that we break. We know that it is Jesus Christ who saves us. And so we remind ourselves with these symbols. This is the bread that symbolizes his body that was broken for us. He died on the cross for our sins. Take, eat. And the juice we drink reminds us of the blood that he shed for us, that saves us, Let us drink it. And let us remember that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And what does that mean? It's our goal to go out and tell others about who Jesus is so that they can know who God is, so that they can believe just as we do and become our brothers, our sisters, our siblings in Christ, all a part of the family of God. So let us remember that. We have a closing song, and then I'll come with our benediction.
Going to close with Seek Ye First. Would you stand?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia.
Amen. I pray that you carry these words from the song with you. Seek, ask, knock, for surely the door will be opened. Go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you to help you shine your light, to be salt, to answer when you seek, when you knock. The Lord be with you. His peace be with us until we meet again. Go in God's glory and grace. Oh, and allow me to pray for our meal of fellowship so we don't have to do it over there. Thank you, God, for those who have brought something to share. Thank you for those who have brought their appetites. Thank you for those who are going to just spend some time fellowshipping with the saints so that we can be iron, sharpening iron, growing and learning from each other and sharing your love. Thank you, God, for being with us. Amen.
Amen.